seated.
First, say amen.
Amen.
Once again, it is a joy to be here with you this morning, just to share with you more of God's word, to remind you of what God's word says, and to encourage you as we all strive to make our journey from earth to heaven, to be where Jesus is. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you and take you there. But what is required of us is to be faithful unto death in order to be where he is. If we are not found with faith, we cannot be where he is. But one of the more important things that we need to do in order to even have faith is we need to listen to him. We have to be effective listeners. So for those of you taking notes, if you need a title, the title that I would entitle it is Effective Listening. To have effective listening, there's going to be a desired or a designed outcome, something that is going to be affected with an effect. And so when we have that effect, then we are finding ourselves doing what the Lord has said for us to do. Now, we find it often said that in order to lead, one must first learn how to do what?
Listen.
To follow. In order to lead, one must first learn how to follow. But I drove down the 95, came down 160, the other way this time, just to remind you that all leaders and all followers first must listen. And without listening, how will you know where to go, what to do, what not to do, what to avoid, or what your goal is? So we must listen. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 17 and just wait for me there. I want to encourage you that in many areas of life, there are many areas in our lives, many areas in the lives of those around us, many areas in everything that we might be involved in, whether it be church, home, school, etc. These areas may at one point in time have held strong, but then they may have become weak. Not because the intent to do right isn't there, or because the proper type of teaching or lessons isn't there, but rather because sometimes the vision of man can be convoluted or can misguide or misdirect the hearts and the ears of mankind away from what God has commanded. And so for those that were here with us during Bible class, those were some of the things that I was sharing and learning and having us to understand that when we depend upon man's vision or man's guidance, it may very well direct us away from God's direction. See, what I love about God and when he deals with his people, he says, listen to what I am telling you, or go to the place that I will show you. He will always guide his people and give sound direction of what they are to do, and he will even tell them the outcome of what is going to happen, just as we talked about earlier. Go into the land and take that land. I am going to give you this land. But at the words of another man, because of their vision, and because of their doubt, their hearts were dismayed. Their ears were inclined into the voice of the people as opposed to the voice of God. So my encouragement to you is as you read and study your Bibles on a daily basis or as often as you have the opportunity to, incline your hearts and your ears into God and stay with his way. Because Jesus says to his disciples where he's going, he told his disciples, you know the way. You know the way because you have it right there in your laps. You have his word. But it is often interesting to find how easily dissuaded or dismayed mankind can become when the vision or the listening goes away from God. All right? In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 is where we read that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways therein or wherein leads to death. And so what we have to always do is what the Bible teaches us, and that is to try every spirit to see whether they be of God. And so it is not enough just to hear his word and then just accept it just to be surface level teaching, but to actually experience God in your life. Allow his word to make purposeful movement in your life. But the only way for that to happen is for us to listen and to obey. Would you agree? Amen. Consider the importance of hearing his word. I showed you in Exodus chapter 5. I showed you in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 22, I believe, chapter 15, rather. Two different instances of where what the Lord said was rejected. And so we have to make decisions individually, collectively, and as a whole, not to reject what the Lord says, because John 12, 48 tells us that the Lord says, the words that I have spoken will judge thee in that last day. And so it is absolutely critical, A, to listen to what he says, not what they say, what he says. B, it is absolutely critical, or number two, I think I said number one. Number two, it is critical for us to obey what he says. Because without obedience, then we can't have heaven. We can't be where he is. And as he said in Matthew chapter 7, once again, he will say, depart from me. And we don't want to be in that crowd. I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 17. Brother Kevin, you mind reading for me? Start at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 17.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, mm-hmm. and led them up a high mountain by themselves.
Okay.
There was
transfigured
before them. His face shone like the sun,
uh-huh.
and his clothes became as white as the light.
Again, remember, I'm not taking you to any book, chapter, verse that you're not unfamiliar with. So, you know, I think sometimes we as a people generally, we want that spectacular message, that immaculate message, that something brand new. That's not what the Lord's church is about. In fact, we see that happening throughout the New Testament, where when they went to preach Jesus, men would say to them, what is this new doctrine that you bring to us? No, this is not something new. This is something maybe new to you because you haven't been obedient yet. It's not new to us here, right? Because we understand what God's word is saying. So here in Matthew chapter 17, it says Jesus is leading his disciples up the mountain of transfiguration. Go ahead, verse number 4.
Peter said to Jesus, the Lord, mm-hmm. it is good for us to hear. If you wish, mm-hmm. we will put up three shelters,
uh-huh.
one for you, uh-huh. one for Moses, and one for...
All right, Peter says, it is good for us to be here. At your word, if you tell me to do it, we'll build three tabernacles, right? We'll build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias, okay? And then what happened in verse number 5?
While he was speaking.
Now, this is critical. Don't miss this point. Effective listening. Sometimes, if you guys remember, when I showed you earlier, when Samuel and Saul were talking, right? Samuel was saying some words to him, and then Saul responded, and Samuel said, be quiet. You guys remember that? He says, be quiet and listen to what the Lord says. And then Saul says, well, say on. And then Samuel proceeded to tell him what the Lord said, right? We often hear it quoted, be still and watch the hand of the Lord move, right? Effective listening requires us to be quiet and listen to the Lord and let him speak, right? We hear teachers say it all the time. You can't listen and talk at the same time, right? Angel, when I was a teenager, I used to say, yeah, right, try me. I'm going to talk and listen at the same time. And then when the teacher tested me and say, what did I say? I wasn't able to tell the teacher what he or she said because I was too busy talking and too concerned with what I was saying because I wanted to be heard. I wanted my words to be heard. And sometimes that's where we cross the line, right? So watch this. In verse number 5, it says, while Peter was talking, what happened?
While he was still speaking, mm-hmm. the bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, who I love with him.
Mm-hmm.
I am well pleased listening to him.
It says, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Bless you. So, it is critical for us to listen to him. Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter 6, and I'll join you there in just a moment. It is critical for us to listen to him. So anytime we're studying God's word, whether it be together or even as individuals, open up your hearts and hear ye him. A lot of times in life, we as mankind, we want to rationalize things and we want to make the Bible fit our lifestyles as opposed to our lifestyles fitting his word. We want the Bible to conform and wrap around what we want to do as opposed to making what we should be doing conform and wrap around what the Bible says for us to do. Just like we just showed you, and I have to continue to use that as an example just to keep the point alive that we looked at in 1 Samuel chapter 15 with Saul. It's the very fact that there was an instruction given, but there was variations of what was done correctly and a continuance of what was done incorrectly. Because it is not what the instruction said. And what I would have us to understand is that we are not the exception to the rule. So therefore, we must make an effort to do what God has told us to do. Does that make sense? And it is helpful for each and every one of us to have each other side by side to remind and encourage and implore and impel each other to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So yes, sometimes our hands need to be smacked so that we don't put our hand in the fire, right? Sometimes we may need to be pulled back in order to keep from tripping and stumbling on the curb ahead that's split. Sometimes we may need to be pruned in order to be perfected. The Bible teaches us these things. And so it's critical that we listen to his word because that's what his word is going to do. Remember, it said his word is a double-edged sword, right? Now, I've never really dealt with swords, but I imagine if I put my hand against a sword, it's not really going to feel too good. Right? I don't think it's going to be sensational at all. It make me say, ooh, I want to do that again. No, it's not. It's not going to feel good because the sword is not designed to do that. Right? But you also recognize that in piercing, there can be healing. See, when our Lord and Savior was pierced, it brought about a great amount of healing. It brought about an enormous, unsustainable amount of forgiveness. And that came through piercing. Not through him saying, here, keep piercing me. It only took them once. Only took them one time. All right. So let's go into Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at some effective listening. You guys are not familiar. You're familiar with this text. You know what happened in this text. But let's look at it so we can keep the perspective. Kevin, go ahead and start reading a verse. Let's jump down to verse number 14. Genesis chapter 6, start at verse number 14. You know that this is the conversation that the Lord God is having with Noah. All right, the Lord God is upset with mankind because of the sinful nature, and every thought and imagination of man is wicked. And you know that the Lord God, it says, it repented that he had made man, and he's about to destroy the earth. Now let's see what happens. So start at verse number 14 of chapter 6.
So make yourself an ark of skyscrapers. Wood to make room in it and coat it with pitch inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you are built it. The ark is to be there 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high.
All right, now stop right there. Now, again, it's not that you're not familiar with the text. You are familiar with the text. You're familiar with the whole story. You're familiar with every point that I'm going to go to concerning this respective story. We all know that Noah was obedient. All right? But here's what we don't want to skip out on. Is look at the finite details that the Lord God is going to ensure that Noah has all he needs to be successful. Right? He didn't just say, Noah, go build a ship. I'm about to cause a flood. Okay? He said, no, I want you to build a boat, but these are the specifications that I want you to build it in. Right? He didn't even leave it up to Noah to build it to his own specifications. So in order to be saved, he had to do it the Lord's way. But watch this. In order to even do it, he had to listen. Imagine if he didn't listen to the Lord. Imagine if he decided to reject what the Lord said for him to do. He may very well could have made a boat. But perhaps the boat didn't have the door on the side where the Lord told him to put it. Or maybe he didn't build it high enough to where it could not be high enough for the proper type of animals that were going to go into that boat. Maybe it wasn't wide enough to where everyone could fit in there properly. You guys understand? Maybe the window wasn't there. Maybe he didn't put a window in there so that the birds that were going to be sent out later down the line to see if the floods has receded, there's no opening to send the birds out. So now everyone stays on the boat and perishes. You guys see what I'm saying? So we have to understand that listening to God's word, obeying God's word, hearing his word, we may not see the total outcome. We may not see the light at the end of the tunnel. I maintain and encourage you to stop looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. Otherwise, we're not walking by faith. Walk by faith because the Lord God told us what step to take, where to take that step. And he also told you what's at the end of the tunnel. He says, I'm going to come back and give you a crown of life if you continue to walk down that tunnel. Right? He says, I've already walked down the tunnel. I've already prepared the way. I'm just telling you and showing you, if you want to come this way, this is the way for you to go. All right? So look at what's going on here. Go ahead. He's giving them the specific directions. Talked about the keepers. Go ahead. Verse number 16.
Make a roof for it, mm-hmm. leaving it below the roof and opening one closet high all around, but a door in the side of the ark and make low, middle, and upper decks.
All right. Now, again, what you don't see is the Lord stopping at each one of his directions to explain what it's about. He didn't tell them why to do it this high or this wide or this long. He didn't tell them why to put the window here or why to put the door there. Right? And what you also don't see, and you know it, is Noah didn't ask them, why am I doing it this wide? Why am I doing it this high? Right? You know, people used to say to me, there's a reason for everything. Yeah, you're probably right. But that doesn't mean you need to know it. Because sometimes that knowing may require something of you that you may not be ready or willing to give. We see many examples in the Bible. Lord, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Right? Go and sell everything you have. That I don't think I really wanted to ask that question. So I'm going to pretend like I didn't ask, and I'm just going to go back to my business. Why? Because it might be required of you to do something that you may not necessarily be ready to do. However, obedience is required of us in order to be saved. And in order to be obedient, we have to listen. So he talked about the window. He talked about the door. All right, go ahead.
I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Every creature that has the breath of life mm-hmm. in it, everything on earth will perish.
All right, and so there you see the Lord's mercy. He went on ahead and told him why he's building this ark. All right, he says everything is going to die. Look at verse number 18. I got it from here, Kevin. Thank you so much. Okay. He says, but with thee, I'm going to establish a covenant. You shall come into the ark, you and your sons and their wives, and thy sons' wives. You and your wife and your son and their wives. Verse 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall you bring into the ark, keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, cattle after their kind, every creeping thing on the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive, all right? And to take unto thee of all food that is to be eaten or that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to it thee, and it shall be good, it shall be for food for thee and for them. Verse number 22, thus did Noah. How? Look at that. According to what God commanded. In order for him to do what God commanded, he had to have listened. Effective listening requires obedience, right? So if mom told me to clean the kitchen, I might want to know what cleaning the kitchen consists of. All right, this is the example I always use with the teenagers when I used to teach them. Why? Because personal experience. Personal experience. You won't find this in book, chapter, and verse, but the principle is in book, and chapter, and verse. But personal experience. Mom says, Anthony, I want you to clean the kitchen before I get home. All right, Mom, no problem. I'm on it, right? So I go in the kitchen. I take all the dishes. I stuff them in however I can in the dishwasher, close the dishwasher, and start it, right? I go in the table where the kitchen table is, make sure the table chairs are under the table properly, and then I go ahead and go back into my room. I have cleaned the kitchen. Why are you laughing? Hold on now. Hold on. I cleaned the kitchen. Mom comes home, or Dad comes home, walks in the kitchen, and says, "What is going on here? Anthony, get in here right now. I'm confused now." I walk in the kitchen. "Hey, Mom, good to see you. How was your day?" "Day was good." "What is this? The kitchen is not clean." "What do you mean, Mom? The dishes are in the dishwasher. Chairs under the table. What didn't I do?" Mom gets the laundry list, and it rolls all the way to the end of the wall of all the things that I did not do. I didn't wipe the counters down. I didn't dry the dishes and put them back in the cupboards. I didn't wipe the kitchen table down. I didn't sweep and mop the floor. Right? And any other things that's on this list. All I'm saying is that the Lord God didn't treat his people that way. And I'm not saying that it's bad for us to do that. It's education in that. But the Lord God said, "This is what you need to do to be saved." He told him, "Go to the store and get milk and bread." And Noah went to the store and got milk and bread. He didn't have to get anything else in order to be saved. He didn't have to do anything else but to be obedient. So in this example, thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah displayed effective listening. Let's use this as an example for ourselves. When we see what the Lord God is commanding of us, let's make sure that we are doing all that the Lord has commanded us to do. Let's not have partial listening, or as we say, selective hearing, right? Let's not have that with the Lord. We might do that one or two each other. I don't highly recommend that either, but let's definitely not do that unto the Lord God when it comes to what he is telling us to do. Let's look at what he says for us to do and exercise all that he said for us to do. All right? Turn your Bibles over to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Again, not a text that I don't think you're familiar with. If you're not familiar with it, it's okay. No problem at all. But the principle is the same. What we're looking at are a couple of examples of effective listening. Now, I love reading through 2 Kings. I love reading through the history of those that remained and kept faithful to what the Lord God commanded. And I even love reading through those that weren't so faithful, because it gives me an example of what not to do and what they may have done or didn't do that caused them to go wrong. All right? It's very interesting to see how the Bible teaches us how, you know, a certain person will have been done righteous in the sight of the Lord. And then their child comes up and they have done wicked in the sight of the Lord. And then their child comes up and then they have done righteous in the sight of the Lord. I always think that dynamic is very interesting, because I always like to ask, what made that person choose to do wrong? Or what made that person choose to do right? All right? And those key factors are very important. And then that's why having the people that are striving for the same effect around you matters. If we're all striving to get to heaven, none of us should want to say, "Yeah, you're out. See ya." Once you fall over and stumble, "Oh, see ya." No, we're going to help each other out, right? To try to get each other back onto the path. We're going to be like that shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes and recovers the one, instead of attacking the one and forsaking the 99. Does that make sense? All right, so that comes with listening to what God has said for us to do. All right, so in 2 Kings chapter 22, Kevin, start reading that verse number 1. I'll jump in and take over at some point. So 2 Kings chapter 22, start at verse number 1.
"The king Solomon answered his mother, 'Why do you..."
2 Kings chapter 22?
2 Kings.
2 Kings. Mm-hmm. Here, I'll go ahead and jump in here. It says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not to the left or to the right. All right? It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the doors have gathered of the people. Let them deliver it into the hands of those that are doing the work. So at this point in time, there's work being done in the temple. All right? And Josiah is noted to be the one of the greatest kings of restoration that restored the people back to the Lord. So remember what I told you guys earlier is that sometimes when we depend on man's vision, it convolutes or takes the ear away from the Lord. So mankind hears not what the Lord says, but rather hears man. And that's where things go wrong. Josiah, when he hears what the Lord says to him, he's going to turn the people's ear to the Lord. All right? And that's what we want to do each and every day. All right, so watch this. So he says, take the money and give it to those that are doing the work. Verse number 6, give it to the carpenters, the builders, the masons, buy timber, hew stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he did what? He read it. Okay? Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king the word again and said, thy servant hath gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hand of them that doeth the work and that have oversight over the house of the Lord. Shaphan the scribe, verse number 10, Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard, these words, he rent his clothes. Why? Because he recognized that they were not doing what the Lord said for them to do. Now, it wasn't through any fault of his own. Remember, he started reigning at 8 years of age. What could he do at that point? But because of what his fathers did, because of the idols that were set up in the temple, and because of the idolatrous places that were set up in the high places for the people to worship, the people began to stray away from the Lord God. And so when he heard the words of the book, it says he rent his clothes. Look at verse number 12. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Acher the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azaniah, a servant of the king, saying, please go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people. Remember, we looked at Saul earlier, and Saul blamed the people. We're looking at Josiah, and Josiah says, I want to protect the people. He says, go and ask of the Lord for me and for the people of all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers did not listen to the words of this book, and they did not do according to all that is written. Don't miss that. Don't have selective obedience. Do all that God has said. Listen to all. So when mom says, clean the kitchen, you better believe next time I'm going to say, okay, mom, what do you want me to do specifically? You want me to wipe the counters down? Okay, check. You want me to clean the dishes and put them away? Check. You want me to sweep the floor and mop? Check. Okay, let me make sure I do all that is required so that when you walk into this kitchen, you can say, well done, son. Now go clean the bathroom. All right. Don't miss that. All right? It says that he wanted them to do all. It says that the fathers, they didn't do all that the Lord had commanded them, that is written. Now, I know time is getting away from me. We don't have enough time to look at everything. But please know, let's see, watch this. Let's get down to read Kevin. Please read verse number 19 and verse number 20 of that same chapter. 2 Kings 22, start at verse number 19. I'm gonna get you, Kevin. You there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. 19, right?
Uh-huh.
When Bathsheba went to...
No. Oh, you know that.
22.
Second, yep, 2 Kings chapter 22.
All right here.
You're in 1 Kings. Go to 2 Kings. You're in 1 Kings right here. Keep going. There it is. See, you got 2 Kings. There we go. So now 2 Kings chapter 22.
Right here, right?
2 Kings 7. It's all good. 13. Okay, so 2 Kings chapter 22, and verse 19. Wherever 19 is. Next page. 19. Sorry.
Right here.
There you go.
Because your heart was responsive, you humbled yourself before the Lord.
Uh huh.
When you heard what I have spoken against this place and it's the people, that they would become a curse, and he laid waste, and because you tore your robes and swept in my presence, I have always heard you declare the Lord.
Mm-hmm. 22, verse 20.
Therefore, I will give you to your
ancestors.
Mm-hmm. And you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king.
All right, now look at that. Verse number 19. The Lord God said to Josiah, because your heart was tender, and because you humbled yourself before the Lord, and because you listened to me. Josiah listened to what those words said, and he obeyed. When you get to chapter 23, you're going to see that Josiah cleaned house. He began to destroy the idols of Baal. He began to destroy the temple of Molech. He began to destroy all the idolatrous places that were set up in the high places. He even took the evil priests and put them down. He got rid of everything that convoluted the ear and hearts and appointed them elsewhere other than God, all right? And, of course, I already showed you guys an example in 1 Samuel chapter 15 of Saul. Saul is a great example of ineffective listening or selective listening. He heard all that God said. He began with the proper intent. He went with the proper intent. He even gave the words over to the people. However, he did not do all that was required. He kept some of what he should not have kept. And it cost him everything. It even cost him the very spirit of God. All right? And he also blamed the people. Real quick, we got to read these because I don't want to let you go without reading these two verses. Bruno, can you grab 1 Kings chapter 8? And Kevin, go to James in the New Testament as far as the end. James. Bruno, I need you to go to 1 Kings chapter 8. Kevin. James chapter 1. Brother Bruno, Brother Frank, if you will read 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 57 and 58. And after these two verses, the lesson is yours. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57 and 58.
May the Lord our God be with us, and he was with our fathers.
May the Lord... Now, hold on. So remember, we just looked at Josiah, who rent his clothes because he recognized that their fathers did not do what those words said. It says he rent his clothes, but then he went to clean house. Here we have an encouragement that says, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Go ahead.
May he not leave us nor forsake us.
All right. Remember, when he took that spirit away from Saul, he left him. And then his spirit was upon David. We don't want the Lord God to take his spirit away from us, so we need to listen to him. Continue on, please.
That he may incline our hearts to himself.
We've got to incline our hearts to him. Go ahead.
To walk in all his ways.
To walk in all his ways. Go ahead.
And to keep his commandments.
Uh-huh.
And his statutes and his judgments.
Okay, go ahead.
Which he commanded to our fathers.
Go ahead.
And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication, before the Lord be near, the Lord our God, I'm sorry.
That's okay, you're fine.
Before the Lord, our supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and cause his people Israel as each day may require.
All right, you can stop right there. So essentially, incline your hearts, incline your ears to his word. Let his word speak to you. Kevin, verse 22 of James chapter 1.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Do not merely listen to the word and so diverse yourself. Do not do what it says.
Okay, read that again. I want you to slow down and read that again. Go ahead. Okay.
Do not merely listen to the word and so
deceive
yourself.
All right, so it says, don't just listen to the word and then deceive yourself. And then go ahead.
Number 23?
No, 22.
Oh, 22. Do what it says.
Do what it says. In the King James, it says, be ye not listeners or hearers only, but be doers, right? Because if you only listen, you'll end up deceiving yourself. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. So be not listeners or hearers only, be ye doers of the word of God. All right, so how do we do that? We hear his word. That's the first thing we need to do. Let his word speak to you. Listen to his word. Not just toward baptism, but even after baptism. Because remember, we're trying to get somewhere. We don't stop listening to Jesus just because we got baptized. Does that make sense? We stop listening to him just because we got baptized. We're not going to end up where he is. We listen to him all the way through until death. And he will crown us with the crown that he promises, that his Father will give us. But we hear his word. We believe it because we know his word to be true. Because we know he is true. Because we know he carried out the very words that he is telling us to carry out. Right? We repent of our transgressions. I love that Saul repented of his transgression. In Saul's case, it was too little too late. The Lord God didn't fully abandon Saul. Nor did Samuel fully just abandon Saul. But as you know, Saul's life began to unravel in many scenarios simply because he rejected God's word. He chose not to do all that was commanded of him. So believe what God's word is saying. Repent of transgressions. Confess his name in our lives and in word. Don't be afraid. You understand? Angel, even as teenagers, sometimes it is difficult for us to live teenage lives in this teenage society where there is so much pressure to live a certain way and look a certain way. Does that make sense? But that doesn't mean we have to be about that. We don't necessarily have to walk around our school campuses toting book, chapter, and verse all day, every day. Although I would like to do that. But we don't have to do that. What we also don't have to do is be about the sinful nature that leads our soul away from God. Does that make sense? So we confess his name in our lifestyles each and every day. But the Bible also teaches us, in order to be saved, we must be baptized. That's Bible. Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned. So it is crucial for us to be baptized. And the Bible also teaches us that we must walk and remain faithful unto him unto death. And he will crown us with that crown of righteousness. Alright? If you have a request that you want to be that you want to be made known, or if you have yet to put on Christ in baptism, we can make sure that the water baptism is made ready for you. And we can baptize you today. And give your hand to the ministry and your heart to God and your lives to God. If you have been living contrary to what you know the Bible teaches you, give your heart to God, repent of transgressions, and let's get right. So when he comes back, we can go back home with him. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let us stand and let us sing the invitation song.
God is calling and shall.